This podcast is part of the Christian Geek Central Network at ChristianGeekCentral.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Theology Gaming Sessions. Where we talk about random stuff that doesn't fit into our normal podcasts. So, this time we're going to start doing something a little new. Now, other podcasts I'm sure have done this idea before, but we're going to call it a sort of video game book club. So, if you're hearing this for the first time, you're probably going to hear some spoilers for Chrono Trigger. So, I recommend you kind of shut your podcast thingamajig off before we spoil something or other. With me today is Brian Hall, who has somehow never played Chrono Trigger in its entirety.
It's happened. I don't know how it's happened, but it's happened. I've at least played through the game, or I've tried to play through the game maybe three or four times. Yeah. It's sad.
I can't believe this, though. How is that even possible?
The first time I played it, I played it on an emulator in college. And I may have done that. But I paid for that because I got to the future level, and I couldn't see anything. Some sort of graphical error, and that's why you don't play games on emulators.
Yeah, emulators had problems with transparencies forever, especially SNES ones. Like Rockman and Forte, which was Mega Man and Bass or whatever, has a whole stage where it's just all like that, and you just can't play it. You can't beat the game. It's impossible. Unless you're messing around transparencies, and who the heck wants to do that?
That sounds pretty nerdy.
Yeah, it's pretty nerdy.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks. So yeah, so I've played it on the emulator, and then I think my wife bought it for me on the DS, and so I've played it at least, I got to the end of time, which is what, 3 hours into the game, roughly, maybe?
Yeah,
depends on how you're playing. Approximately. And that's as far as I got, and I quit because I felt like the controls had done something really weird. And in hindsight, it's probably was just me. So here I am. Here I am again. I'm ready to play through the game.
Yep. So we encourage you to play Chrono Trigger, and we'll find out what the stopping point is at the end of this podcast, where we should go next. But if you're hearing us for the first time, we're just going to play through the whole thing, and then we're going to offer our thoughts as we go along. I am the seasoned veteran in this duo, because I've played it, or seen it being played, all the way through way too many times, and I'm just kind of going through it just by rote memorization most of the time. Or just pressing the attack button really quickly.
Over and over.
Yeah, but it works. It works. So, all right, I want to know about your thoughts on the game, because obviously I have my thoughts about the game.
Chrono Trigger, it's totally different than other 16-bit JRPGs. Totally and completely different. It has a different pacing style to it. It's just not as serious as a Final Fantasy game, which is what I'm used to.
Yeah, it's not like super serious, because we were playing it today, and we played up to End of Time, just like you said you had played to End of Time before. So all spoilers will be up to that point. So, the first time you see the Lavos screen, you know, the big thing out there, you know, you're looking at the Day of Lavos, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They go, oh no, the world is being destroyed, and Marl's like, oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, and she has, like, an existential dread for, like, 3 seconds, and they're like, we can't let that happen. And then the game just suddenly progresses, because you just agree, and you go, okay, we're gonna save the world now.
Yeah, there's an earnestness to the game that I enjoy. The characters don't seem to have... what am I looking for?
Existential problems, hang-ups?
Yeah, they don't have junk. It's just, let's, you know, there's the enemy, let's go get them. Yeah. I like that. It's fun.
They have, like, emotional backgrounds and stuff and personality traits, but, like, they deal with them and then they get rid of them so fast that you're playing the game again. You know, like Robo. Robo kind of, like, meets his friends and his buddies and they beat him up because he's not, like, the other robots anymore.
Which is still, I mean, it's as funny as the sprites look at times. Which, by the way, the artwork is gorgeous. But, I mean, when he was beaten up in the future, it's a bit intense. It's still intense. And I think it's because of the music and just the graphics all. They still meld together and they make the game... I'm going to say it even at this point. I think the game's timeless.
Really?
Yeah.
Just playing 3 hours.
You know, it has probably one of my most favorite battle systems ever in a JRPG.
Okay, so what's good about the battle system to you?
The battle system's fast. There's no junk. There's no, like, say, Final Fantasy 13 had all the paradigm shifting. It also had the... What was the thing where you would track your skills? on the flower petal. So, you know what I'm talking about.
What the heck is
that? You know what I'm talking about. You'd move your skill set in the background. It was really complicated.
Paradigm shift?
There's the paradigm shift, but also in the background, you could change your skills. I don't remember what it was called. In Final Fantasy X, it was just the...
messing around with your abilities?
Is that what it is?
That was the only thing I was doing.
It's terribly complicated, and I don't like it.
I don't think it was that complicated. I think it's more like dealing with the flow of battle. That was the paradigm shift in a nutshell. Like, if you needed healing, switch the paradigm with the healers. If you needed to attack, just do all-out attack with one commando, two ravagers, right? It's complicated in the sense that you have to shift based on what the enemy's doing, but other than that, I mean, it's mostly just, like, pressing a lot of buttons.
No, see, that wasn't the problem. I didn't have a problem with that. What's the board in Final Fantasy X that you move up on?
Oh, the Crystarium?
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. It has no background like that, where you're having to tweak stats.
Oh, Crystarium's easy. You just figure out which character's the best at what role, and you just pump them up.
Well, I just must be the worst JRPG. I love these games. I love them. I love the stories in them.
They tell you who's good at what, right? They'll go, oh, Lightning is good at being a Ravager, and then you just build her up, right? And then they'll go, oh, Snow is a good Sentinel, and you just build him up, right? Because that's how they start you with those characters.
Did you just say annoying character and annoying character? Keep going. Keep naming characters off of my game.
Well, anyway, by comparison, Chrono Trigger takes like 3 seconds to figure out.
Yeah, it's a quick game. I like it. Even all the way down to equipping your equipment. It's real fast. It's easy. It tells you what stats there are. Been playing on the DS, and so everything is, when you're battling, you know, all your stats, they're moved to the bottom of the screen. It's not cluttered at all.
Yeah, which is interesting because I'm familiar with the SNES version, so I put it on classic view again so I could scroll through menus and not use the stylus. Mm-hmm. I hate using the stylus a lot.
Yeah, I haven't used it yet, and I have it on the DS mode.
Yeah, well, so I just scroll through the menus, and it looks pretty much identical to the other version. And you're not really being hampered either way if you play with stylus or otherwise, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fast. I think that's really the key component of it.
And I think that's it. It's fast. And the other thing is, it doesn't seem like your character, because your battle meter is constantly charging. And so it's fast. I guess that's a good point.
It pauses when an enemy's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do anything other than that.
It seems to hide the classic lineup where you do your moves and then you wait for the enemy to do theirs. To me, it seems like it hides it just a little bit, at least within the first few hours of the game.
Yeah, it's technically turn-based. I mean, all the ATBs are. It just feels like things are moving at a fast clip because of bars and meters and things happening. But really, everything is determined by your speed rating. So, but your actions are not determined by that. So, like, if you're waiting for, like, a dual tech or something, then you'll go whenever you want to go. But your turn comes up when your speed rating says so.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah. But, like, most of the time, you don't go when your turn comes up because you're waiting for, like, a dual tech, like Fire Whirl or something. Or for enemies to get in the right position to hit them all at once with an AoE attack, which is cool. Yeah. I like this stuff.
Yeah, I like this battle system a whole lot.
Okay. And what do you think of the tech system in general?
Tech system.
You know,
like, it's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even though it uses like two characters' turns at once, does it add anything substantially to the game that would be there otherwise?
I don't use the techs a whole lot.
Really?
Yeah, at least I have it. If I've got a large group of people and I need to do a large area of effect spell or, you know, what have you tech, then I will do it. But otherwise, I try not to use them.
At all? Wow.
Yeah.
That is an interesting way to play the game.
Yeah, probably not playing it the correct way, but
no.
That's how I've been doing it so far. And I know that won't keep up for too long.
No, because you'll have to figure out what the enemy weaknesses are.
What?
Yeah.
Nah, that's no good.
Because most of the enemies in the... Well, okay, so think of, like, the factory. Most of the enemies, most electric enemies, are weak against, like, lightning. Like, robots and stuff. Because you short-circuit them. I mean, this is kind of, like, common knowledge to people who play JRPGs, right? But, like, you get a lightning sword, you get a lightning gun, you get Robo's strange abilities. A lot of them do lightning damage, so you're just supposed to kind of just figure it out as you go. and some enemies are weak against fire. It's mostly based on what abilities you have at the time as you go through the game will determine what they're weak against.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm finding this as I go through again. Because you would expect them not to be weak against it, and then you try it, and they go, like, it does, like, gonzo damage. And you end up being awesome. Or feeling awesome, anyway.
Hmm.
Chrono Trigger likes to make you feel really smart. I like that.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I like the game so much. But, I mean, the whole game's memorable, all the way down to the intro, with you, you know, being woken up in bed by your mom. And the only other JRPG I can think of that does that, and maybe there's quite a few that do that, I think it was a Breath of Fire game that did it. Huh. It's the only time I've ever seen it before. I had it at one point. I can't think of which one it was.
I think you're right. I think at least the first two Breath of Fire games, somebody, one of your parents wakes you up.
Yeah, as your village is on fire and burning.
Yeah, that's definitely a Breath of Fire one.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
But I mean, all the way down to that, and then just the sound design as you're going into the Millennial Fair and just everything going on. And what's interesting is that you don't have to do any of the, you know, the different booths that are set up within the fair.
Yeah.
I was just
messing around in there just for fun.
Yeah, it is fun. You know, it's got a really good soundtrack to it. Question for you though. So all of that leads up to eventually, I mean, I'm skipping ahead in the story, but that leads up to the trial. Did you have to steal the guy's lunch?
You don't have to do any bad things at all.
So what happens if you don't do any bad things?
Okay, were you guilty?
I was 100% guilty and accused of death.
I was not guilty.
What?
Yeah, okay.
Wait. So it's not some linear path.
No.
Oh, you're making me want to restart now.
Okay, so part of it is, well, the events happen the same way, but you're just declared not guilty. So if in the Millennial Fair, there's like three different things you have to do or not do in order to...
Yeah, you've got the stupid girl with the cat.
Yeah, bring the cat to the girl.
So you can do that.
Yeah, you should do that. Don't take
the cat runs away from me.
No, the cat's nice. I just walked up to it and picked it up. No, as soon as you touch the cat, it will start following you, and then you have to walk your way back to the girl.
Okay, so you got the cat girl.
Okay, don't take the guy's lunch.
Yeah, I took it.
You know, that's like a compulsive JRPG thing. You just pick up.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because it's not nice to take a guy's lunch. Did you talk to him before you took it?
No, I just went up and took it.
You're horrible. He says it's like my wife made this lunch for me. It's my favorite.
I really didn't care. It was sitting on the edge of the counter and I wanted food. I'm like, hey, I thought you had to do it to progress the story.
No, you don't at all. If you go back to the swordsman guy.
Yeah.
And he'll ask you, hey, can you ask the girl over there if she wants to sell her pendant? And then you say no. And then there's one other one, which is when Marl wants to go look at candy, you're just supposed to stand there until she's done looking at the candy.
That is the dumbest thing ever. I have zero patience for that.
Well, see how it made you guilty because you weren't paying attention?
So that's where I think the game's really clever, is that I can tell it's doing things like that. And it's almost in a way to me, it's making fun of other JRPGs that have come up to it, you know, come before it. It's like, you don't have to do this stuff, apparently.
Well, you were bad at it, so.
I wanted to be guilty, apparently. Yeah, convicted of death.
So basically what happens if you're not guilty is that they imprison you anyway for 3 days for, like, misconduct or something. And then the chancellor goes, he's to be executed in 3 days. And he's like, and the guy goes, that's not on the record. And he's like, do you question my orders? And you end up in the same way anyway, so.
So it didn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter, but it's fun.
Whatever.
There's a lot of that in Chrono Trigger. It doesn't matter, but it's fun.
Really clever, though.
Yeah, it is. I like that whole sequence, too. And the Dragon Tank thing is really cool, because you look up the pamphlet right before, and it tells you how to beat the boss.
It's like, here it is. Yeah, I like that. Tongue in cheek. You can just tell the developers are firing on all cylinders as they're making this game. Yeah.
And if you're paying attention, it's a lot more fun. Like, if you just rush through everything, you gotta, like, stop and smell the roses in Chrono Trigger. Because if you do, it'll just take you in its whirlwind pacing, and you won't know what exactly happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we made it to the end of time, right?
The end of time.
Yeah, it's a strange concept, but it will make sense later. Anyway, so what do you think of the pacing overall?
I enjoy it. It moves along at an extremely, it's a good clip, I should say. What's not to like about it? If you don't like something about the game, it changes within, give it 30 minutes and it's going to swap to something new.
Yeah, it's like a series of episodes of a good series. It reminds me of Dragon Ball Z, actually.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen Dragon Ball Z?
There's no Dragon Ball going down here.
But the art style is by the same guy. That's why.
Oh, okay.
That's why Chrono Trigger looks like it does, you know, with the
it looks awesome. Characters
and Chrono looks like Goku and it's all little strange things.
With his samurai sword, which is completely out of place versus everyone else.
Yeah, here's the official artwork, right?
Yeah.
The official artwork looks just like, you know, he looks exactly the same as Dragon Ball Z characters. So
interesting. Yeah, yeah, love the art style.
But the pacing is like just fast. It just goes at a clip, like really, and you've gone like six dungeons by the time you've just ended up here somewhere, I think, or it just feels that way. But they're really fast and they're not overly complicated and they just go.
They're very straightforward. It kind of remind me of a Zelda dungeon just a little bit, if I can be so bold. They're laid out very well.
Yeah, and in a way that makes you, again, feel really smart when you figure out what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, like, I like it.
Like, did you know, the crane puzzle thing?
That made me really mad. The buttons on the DS didn't seem to be working correctly.
No, they do. You're waiting for the dial tone. It'll say, dun, dun, and then you press the two buttons.
That irritated me beyond belief.
But the solution is right there. It's on a little piece of paper on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
He was actually getting it to work.
So they're not doing anything convoluted or weird. You just have to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah, and that was it.
Pay attention, yeah.
Yeah, and that was it. I like it.
Unlike, let's say, Final Fantasy VI has some dungeons that definitely don't make a whole lot of sense unless you're really good at solving brain teasers.
Final Fantasy VI. That's the one with the... It begins with the snow and the robots.
Yeah, and Kefka and all that sort of thing.
I haven't played that.
Oh my goodness. We're going to play this next then.
I haven't played it. Is it on the... Which version would you go with?
The Game Boy Advance version is technically the best.
Isn't that also the hardest?
It's the same. It's the same situation, actually, as the Chrono Trigger. So okay. It was translated by the same guy. Mm-hmm. And it's a retranslation and all that. And there's some additional features, but it's, you know, there's nothing like really big, but that's the best version for somebody who's never played it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But technically, the SNES version has better music and that sort of thing.
The game also has the same battle system, right?
Very similar, except you have four people and there's a lot more options, I would say.
So you're not limited to three like you are in Chrono Trigger?
No, you get four people.
Interesting.
And eventually the four people can do whatever the heck you want.
Really? Okay.
But we'll save that for another day.
No, that's fun.
Yeah. But Chrono Trigger is like a simplified version, but it does different things. So you'll see later that a lot of the boss fights require you to use either specific abilities or doing things at a specific time, you know, that kind of thing. Switching it up so that you're not just like smacking the attack button the whole time.
I like doing that.
But right now it's easy breezy. But eventually it'll start challenging you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like well, you did the Guardian bits, didn't you?
Guardian.
The Guardian and the bits, the giant robot and the
giant robot. Is there a giant robot?
Okay, so the dome that's in between the first dilapidated city area.
Yeah.
And Johnny, that dome?
Yeah.
Well, aren't you supposed to go through the dome and then fight the Guardian robots?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, to get the seed.
Yeah, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I just killed them all.
Yeah.
So in the future world, do you feel, does your heart go out to the people who aren't eating?
No.
No.
I know, it's like, but there's really no reason to feel anything. You're just running around.
No, I mean, you go into those chambers that replenish your health and your MP, and, you know, it always tells you that you're still hungry. And I'm like, well, I wasn't thinking about that. But now I am. Why are you making me think about that?
It's very sad.
It's like it's trying to draw out empathy, or is it just, it's kind of reminding you, hey, these people are hungry. Yeah. They found a seed, and it's going to be like Wally in the end, and it's going to be okay.
It's hard to depict hunger through 16-bit sprites.
They do a pretty good job.
Yeah, but they look convincing, at least. And so it doesn't really take much for you to go, we need to save these people, you know what I mean?
Well, why wouldn't you? Otherwise, you just the game's over, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't need to go through this huge exposition to get you there. It just kind of, like, you know, has impressions of bad things happening, and then by that you can just kind of extrapolate plot details, right? Because it goes really fast when they're just, like, rattling off plot points, and they're just going, like, well, this is our next objective, right? It's not long enough for you to get bored, but it's long enough for you to get kind of an impression of what the characters are doing.
That's true. I guess the game, it does treat you in a smart manner.
Yeah, like it assumes you're going to go save. Well, it kind of assumes you're going to go save the world anyway. Regardless,
that was a choice, though.
Yeah,
you were asked. It was Chrono. Do you want to do this or not?
I think if you say no, it doesn't matter.
I thought it doesn't matter what I say.
No,
might as well be happy and pretend to be happy and go do this.
Yeah, it gives you the illusion of choice, but it makes the decision feel good.
So it's not going to give me a totally destructive ending like another game did recently.
Well, unless you die.
Unless you die,
you know. Unless you die, and which is the ending is really sad if you die.
So let's talk about the jet bike sequence.
How was that for you?
Which seemed like it was just a show off. It was like a tech showcase for Mod 7.
Mod 7. Yeah, it's awesome.
It was good. It was very easy. I mean, the guy, whatever his name was.
Johnny,
fine. He has a name. You mean like Johnny Five?
Doesn't he say his name?
He might have.
He must.
I beat him. That's all that mattered.
How many tries?
I don't want to talk about that. It was on the second time.
I took three, so.
And it was only because I wasn't watching his pattern good enough. Because he definitely has a pattern to it, and he keeps repeating it over.
Yeah. Actually, all you really need to do is just wait until like the final moment. Then go in front of him and then boost, and then you're done.
Whatever.
It's not like the game really seems to care.
Whatever. It's a good breakup because I was happy that I didn't have to go back through the junkyard area again.
No, you can walk through. And
you can walk through it?
Yeah, you can walk through it.
Really?
Yep, and it gives you the option too. You know, he says, well, you lost to me. You can walk through there if you want, but those monsters are strong. And I guess they are. But you'll get lots of experience, and there are treasure chests there. So
wait. So did you hop on the jet bike, or did you go walk through?
Oh, no, I just did the jet bike.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But walking through is hard, that's why.
Yeah.
It gives you the alternative, but you can do it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's always multiple options, but you're going the same way.
So you approaching this game again, Zach, for the umpteenth time.
It feels that way.
What sticks out to you?
The fact that my nostalgia for the game is not being eclipsed by my ability to look at it very cleanly and saying that it's, in my opinion, not the best JRPG ever made. It's a really good one, and
okay,
I like
fine.
It.
Fine, let's counter on that. What do you think is the greatest JRPG ever made?
For me, it's Suikoden 2 or Valkyrie Profile, but nobody's played those. So that's problematic.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, Chrono Trigger.
I don't even know what you just said.
Yeah, I know. Chrono Trigger is like, it's a really good game, but I don't know if it's like, you know, as great as the critics will hail it, like the best game ever in this genre for all time to come, right? Like as
no,
if
definitely
never made any advancements since then.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, definitely not.
I think I said this on the Game Church City forum, and people attacked me immediately, so I'm going to assume that their nostalgia is clouding their ability to actually judge it.
which it might be. I don't know. I just, you know what it is, and I guess it just, for me so far, and we're only talking a few hours in, it's just the tone and it's the pacing that's pulling me along, with an excellent battle system kind of overlaid over it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great game, but like as a story, a lot of the stuff works together, but I'm not sure whether or not it's the best.
That's because Final Fantasy VII's the best. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's pretty close.
No,
it's pretty darn close.
Who doesn't want to play a game where you're a terrorist?
Well, maybe not nowadays.
I'll tell you, it was odd. I had recently restarted playing Final Fantasy VII, and it was odd looking at the game because I hadn't played it. I'd probably played it before 9/11. And so to play it after 9/11, you know, it's all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, we're terrorists. This isn't a good thing. And so the narrative almost takes on a completely different form.
Wow, that's weird.
It is weird, you know, because now you're playing as a terrorist. And so against a gigantic corporation, which could be America, I don't know.
Or it could be like corporations that hate the environment or something.
Environmental killers, but who knows, you know?
Yeah. And Chrono Trigger is like not at all like that at all.
It hasn't been political yet.
No.
So it doesn't get political.
Not really at all. But you'll be able to be your own personal environmentalist in one of the side quests.
Excellent.
I know that's true. But when you do it, you'll feel good about it.
That's all that matters. It's yeah. all that matters is yeah. feeling good.
Yeah, well, usually saving the environment does not involve fighting monsters, so.
That sounds lame.
Yeah, but I like Chrono Trigger. I just don't know whether it's the ideal form of JRPG that every other one must aspire to be. Mm-hmm. Because if you make that comparison, you kind of just invalidate a whole lot of games that are really good in their own
ways.
Yeah. Because this game is good in the things that it does, which is fast pacing, fast battle system, really accessible. I mean, just about anybody could play Chrono Trigger and have a good time. But I'm not sure if that means it's the best in the genre. I think it just means it's the most accessible and probably the best written too.
What do you think in gaming we're always trying to make this or say this is the best? You know, this is the top of it. Do you do that with books? Do you do that with music?
Not really.
Not really, because each artist and each author is treated separately, right? I mean, you know, they're treated on their own. What am I trying to say? You know, they're in their own category, their own.
Yeah, like you probably don't like smooth jazz.
I really don't know if I like smooth jazz.
Yeah, but I really like smooth jazz, and I don't know who the best smooth jazz artist is. I just know I like smooth jazz.
I don't know where it comes down, where we're always trying to say, this is the best, this is the best. It seems unique to gaming. I mean, even with films, I mean, there is no, like when I think of my most favorite movies, they're personally favorites, but are they the best? And that seems to vary. There's opinions on that, you know, there's genres. I don't know. I'm just saying, with gaming, it just kind of seems like it's a nerd thing.
No, it may have some basis in reality, now I'm thinking about it. Because games are like just sets of rules and systems, and if you think of it that way, then you can kind of make a comparison between those rules and those systems with other ones and see how well they implement it, right?
I guess that's true. It's just thinking about all the different JRPGs, and they all have their different flavors. Dragon Quest, to me, it's like spending a summer at summer camp. It's so relaxed and laid back, but it's also all about grinding. Yeah. And
but there's still strategy in the grinding.
Tons of it.
Yeah, there's a strange pleasure in the way that Dragon Quest random battles go. Like, you're like, I know the enemy HP totals of all these things. How do I kill them in the most efficient way possible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you do that like over and over and over again until you kind of memorize all the weird enemy patterns.
I think one of my faults is I focus too much on a specific series of JRPGs, like the Final Fantasy series. You like one, you kind of like them all, typically. You know, but in doing that, I kind of like Chrono Trigger. To me, it's just like a separate book on the shelf. It's a one-time deal. I don't think they'll ever come close to it again, just because it's unique in its own sense.
And the fact that it was co-designed by the creator of Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest and has Akira Toriyama and the guy who wrote the plot is pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, if you have all those people in one room, they're never going to make another game like that again unless they all get in the same room. So
no. And that's why, even earlier today when you and I were talking, that's why it reminds me of...
Earthbound. It's like in it of its own kind. Sui generis, you know?
And that's what I'm saying. It's just kind of different. So my point being is, I think I focus too much sometimes on mainline series, and I haven't gone off and explored what else is out there. Etrian Odyssey, I've been really interested in playing. It's I played the demo on the 3DS for, I think it's called the Millennium Girl, and it has cartography in it. And so as you're going through the dungeons, you're sitting there and you're drawing out the maps.
Cartography.
It's a selling point. It's a bullet point on the back of the game. It's cartography. I wonder if I've limited myself too much. I've never played, you mentioned, is it Suikoden?
Yeah.
Suikoden.
Or Suikoden.
Suikoden.
The second game, not the first one.
Okay, see, and I've never played that series, and I know that's a completely different flavor.
Suikoden 2 is also impossible to find, so that's part of the issue with that one.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you'll never ever play it unless you emulate it, so good luck.
And then what's the game with the Pokemon Demon Hunters?
Shin Megami Tensei.
There you go, and there's another completely different flavor that I've never tried either.
Yeah, and they're all weird and different.
Which is related to the Persona series, right? I get confused on that.
Yes. It's okay, so Shin Megami Tensei has mainline games, which are exactly 4, and then everything else is a spin-off.
Okay.
So there's like Devil Summoner, and there's Digital Devil Saga, and there's Persona series, and then there's Devil Survivor, and there's like... I go on all day, right?
A lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Just interesting. You know, there's so many other JRPGs out there that I don't think are as mainline as the ones, at least that I've played. So just a thought. I don't know. It's good to expand your horizon, right?
Yeah. And the interesting thing about Chrono Trigger is that it sold really well, like originally in SNES form and during the PS1 version, right? So it sold like 2.5 million copies or so in that time span. But the DS version was a horrible underperformer.
Really?
Yeah, it sold terribly. Isn't that the weirdest?
That is the weirdest, especially when I believe the director meant it to be it's the pinnacle version. It is the version.
Yeah, it sold like 240,000 copies in America, I think.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, it sold 490,000 in Japan. But, you know, Square Enix being what it is, that's not enough sales to really pump it up to get a sequel status, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're probably never going to see another Chrono game in a long time.
And you think it's also due, though, to the sequel, which is completely and totally unrelated?
No, the sequel is related. You just have to be...
Oh, it's so terrible.
It's not terrible. It's interesting.
Oh.
I'm not sure what the sales of that one were. I would have to... I don't think they're great.
Yeah, I was not impressed. Music was good, though.
Yeah, it sold a lot of copies, but nobody loved it.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was weird and strange, and it does a lot of things. It's basically like the opposite. So if you think of them as complementary, then if Chrono Trigger is like the happy, smiling younger brother, then Chrono Cross is like the older, surlier, existentially angsty, you know, older brother. It's very strange.
And I wonder if that's a difference between 1995 and whatever year... Wait, Chrono Cross came out, what, 90...
I know, but I call it the older brother, even because it feels like the older teenager of the two, even though it's a younger game.
I hate myself.
Yeah, you know, slash wrists, that sort of thing.
That's terrible. Yeah, no good. Yeah, so I'm enjoying what I've played so far. I will note that it's also a game that Chrono Trigger is a game where I've kept the volume on. Usually when I play games, like if I'm playing, I've been playing through Pokemon X, and I just turn the sound off.
Wow.
And I'm not saying it's terrible, it's just, it's not pretty. And so you just kind of turn it off and you just play as you're watching television or whatever. And Chrono Trigger is a game where I put headphones in and I sit there and listen to it. I really like the music on it.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a recommendation enough.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah, it sounds satisfying, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a critical hit, right? The screen flashes and it goes...
And even the battle music. I just love the battle music. And the only other game I've liked battle music in is Final Fantasy VII, which is that victory... the thing that they do at the end.
One Winged Angel?
Yeah, probably.
Victory Fanfare?
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah. I love that. It makes me all happy. I'm like, this is the greatest game ever. But I like Final Fantasy VII a lot. So
I could tell.
Yeah.
But that's a good one to like.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. It's just Cloud in every other game is just... He doesn't actually feel like Cloud in Final Fantasy VII. Like, you'll see him in Kingdom Hearts, and you'll see him in Advent Children or whatever else. He's, like, angsty and brooding the whole time, and he's not in Final Fantasy VII.
At least that's not how I imagined him in Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. It's not at all, if you think of it that way. Maybe it's because you read that game. In the other ones, you don't really have the option to kind of create mm-hmm. the character in your head. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that's just me.
Interesting. So Chrono Trigger, are there any tropes going on in the game?
Just about everything is a trope.
It's pretty much. I mean, all the way down to the princess being rebellious. And
and the smart, whip-smart girl inventor.
Luca is awesome. She's like the Gadget. She's like Gadget from Rescue Rangers. I mean, same style character, you know? I mean, what? She figured out time travel within an hour.
I know. It's amazing.
All of a sudden, she's like, I've got this remote, and now we can jump through time. And this is awesome.
How the heck did she figure that out so fast?
I don't know. It's a lot better than a DeLorean from Back to the Future or, you know, something like that. She sticks it in her pocket.
Oh, did you escape from the prison?
Escape from prison.
After the trial. You went in the prison, right?
Yeah.
Did you escape?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you wait, Luca will come for you.
How long do you have to wait?
You have to wait like 3 days for the execution. But she'll come and rescue you. You can't, like, die.
So you stay in your prison cell?
Yeah, well, I guess it assumes if this player is not particularly either bright or proactive, that they're going to have to get him out somehow, right?
You sit... That's interesting.
Like, if you go to sleep, like, 3 days in a row, she'll come and save you.
Interesting. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, because it's like all these weird little things happen. Oh, how about Robo? Do you like Robo? Or has he not really endeared himself to you yet?
Robo's cool. I will say, okay, so at the end of time, I left Marl there. Even though I felt really bad for leaving her there, because she's all happy and nice. But I figured Luca was a far better companion, because she's got the guns and, I don't know.
Yeah, but the guns are inaccurate, so you have to deal with that.
It's true.
And she has fire, but you don't get the healing abilities. So it kind of forces you to make tough choices. I like that.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah. Like, Marl is obviously going to be the best healer in the game. Surprise. but you can choose whoever you want. And the game's not going to penalize you for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just make it slightly harder to do certain parts. But overall, you're not going to get penalized for using what characters you like to use. So... because they're all going to get dual techs and that sort of thing.
Yeah. You go. So, but if you leave someone in the end of time, that means then that they're not gaining experiences or sitting there.
I thought that at first, last time I played the game a couple of years ago.
But yeah.
What happens is that they actually are getting levels as you go.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, you'll come back because I, like, gained 20 levels or something. And then I came back and I talked to the person. And they were one level below whatever Chrono was.
That's interesting. Okay, that's good. That's really good to know.
Yeah, so if you want to swap, you can swap.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's another thing people like, that you don't have to grind out all the characters to level them up.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Final Fantasy VII, or no, not VII. Is it VII? Yeah. Do you have to grind in VII if they're not in your party? I'm pretty sure you do.
I think you do.
Yeah, in most every JRPG ever made.
Yeah.
Do, but in Chrono Trigger, you don't.
Yeah. That was something that they fixed in Pokemon X, is that they've made it now to where it shares experience across the board.
Oh, but and that so takes if you're a lot longer.
Well, so what? You've got like six Pokemon in your party. I think it's six. It's five or six. And so if you're just fighting with one, it'll share the experience with all the other ones that are inside your party.
Hmm.
I always my problem with the Pokemon games is I'd get to the end. Or I'd get further along, and I'd only developed one or two guys because they're awesome. And I don't know why I would start shuffling between the other ones. And so they finally figured it out. They had to figure out that I was playing like that. And they're like, hey, Brian, we're going to make this easy for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A bunch of Japanese guys in Nintendo headquarters are like, we got to fix this for Brian.
We have to fix this for Brian. And then they did.
No,
and it made the game better.
There is an item in one of the... I'm not sure if it's in the original Pokemon Blue.
Where they can carry it.
Yeah, the XP exchange? No.
Yep.
So item carry isn't in the original game, right?
No.
So that must be gold and silver? Yeah, probably.
It came later on.
Yeah. I think in gold and silver, they had the XP exchange item. You can kind of divide it between them, but it's, you know, who the heck does that? I usually just put the weak Pokemon in front, and then I swap them. That's how I would do it.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. But it's made it to where you don't have to do it anymore.
I think I played Fire Red recently, and it does that. I did that the whole way through.
Nice.
Yeah, so it does work. Just
lots of RPGs. So at this point, Zachary, how is Chrono Trigger enriching your life? How is it adding to your life? How is it adding value?
It's a lot of fun.
I can deal with that. I think it's fun too. I mean, that's the only reason I play games. I play because they're fun.
The plot gets really interesting, and I'm happy to see it again with different eyes than what I've been doing, because the last time I played it, Theology Gaming didn't exist, so now I can actually look at it kind of as a critic's eye rather than just as a player. So
cool.
That's made it different for me, but, you know, other than that, I mean, it's a fun game, and there's really no pretensions to being anything more than fun.
Yeah, so moving forward, we just need to pick another checkpoint to stop at.
Let me take out my handy-dandy Nintendo Player's Guide.
So we can do that, pick another point, and then keep playing.
Of course, the problem is I have to pick a point that isn't a real spoiler.
Like this last time, it was supposed to be stopped when you fight a dragon, but I kind of pushed past that.
Okay. When you arrive at a new time period, stop playing. That is not spoilerific. But
new time period. So
when you arrive in a time period to which you have not been before, that is when you should stop playing. Okay. You'll know what I mean when you get there.
Okay, so I can do that.
So right now you have... Did it tell you any of the dates or times yet? Or
You had the past, which was what, 688?
One's 600 AD, one's 1000 AD. And then there's the future, which is ambiguous. Yep. And then there's others, obviously. So,
Okay. When
you get to a time period you haven't been in before, stop playing.
Okay,
That'll be the next marker. Unless you violate the rules, in which case we'll just have to keep playing, I guess.
We'll just keep going. Okay. So otherwise, though, you said the game was 20 to 30 hours?
Yeah. 20 hours if you're blazing through it, 30 hours if you're taking your time.
Okay.
So for me, I'm not sure how long it'll take. It'll probably take 30, give or take a few.
That sounds good.
We'll get into the strange complications of the end game later, but for right now, we'll leave that alone.
I want the best ending. Have I already blown it by my choices that I made at the Millennial Fair in the beginning of the game?
No.
No, okay.
There are other ways you can blow it, but I'm not going to tell you what they are.
I'd be really upset, but I don't know if you want me to write a special article for Theology Gaming on how upset I am over Chrono Trigger.
You won't be. It won't matter.
This game upset me.
You'll be happy regardless of how the game ends, I think.
Nice.
Other than dying, which is a different issue.
Cool. So, Chrono Trigger Book Club.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
Done for now.
Yeah. So, this has been Theology Gaming Sessions. I hope this is jazz music from somewhere. Oh, yeah, there is a Chrono Trigger Jazz Fusion album. So, I guess I'm going to put that kind of music on here.
Sweet.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
So, that works out perfectly. So, if you'd like to join us on our little book club or ask questions, you can ask us questions at questions@theologygaming.com. You can ask us questions at Theology Gaming University, which is our Facebook group. Am I missing anything?
No, you got it.
Brian Hall writes at johnnybgamer.com, and you can find him at Twitter using the same handle, at johnnybgamer, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and you can find me, Zachary Oliver, on Twitter. And I'm Zachary Oliver on Facebook and all that jazz. And I wear masks. So I'm either Iron Man or I'm a Power Ranger. So.
Both cool.
Yep. So that's been our Theology Gaming Sessions, Chrono Trigger Book Club number 1. We hope you join us, and we will see you around next time.
Later.